Hello and welcome. It's our Q&A episode of Books of the Year. Ragnar Jørnesen is with us, a fantastic crime writer. His new book, Death at the Sanatorium, we discussed in our last podcast. But we are here and we're taking our regular vast number of questions, see how Ragnar does with these. But Ragnar, first of all, we'll start, as we always do. What is the last book that you really, really enjoyed reading?
I think for crime fiction, I think it is Anthony Horowitz, who is a good friend. And it was a book called Close to Death. And I read that over the Easter holidays. And it's his latest one, and I think it's his best one. I mean, I read them. He can't write fast enough for me because I just, as soon as it's ready, I read these books and I love them.
He's very slow, though, in comparison with you.
I would love one more book per year from him, just to keep me entertained. he is like, you know, he's doing a lot of Golden Age, Agatha Christie-ish, and he's so original in his approaches. And it's always like, and meeting him for coffee or lunches is like, his brain works so fast. He's got such a lot of ideas. And we're hoping to write a play together. And we still...
Just don't give him any career advice like you did the Prime Minister.
No, don't do that. So this latest one that you've read of his, because we've had Anthony on the podcast a number of times, and in some of those books he features in his own book. So is it along those same lines? What happens in what's so good about this latest of his?
So it's set in Richmond, where he lives, and it's just a closed circle, you know, or like a locked room kind of story, and. I think it's just really well done, and all of them are really. And I love the fact that he features himself. I wish I had that idea myself.
Yes, it takes a bit of getting used to, doesn't it? But then you can. But it's a version. It's not quite Anthony. It's like a version of Anthony.
Yeah. It's like I don't think I could have pulled it off the way he does, because he does it with such a lot of humor, and you know, he is making fun of himself in a way, but it's still, you know, it's very elegantly done.
Okay.
How are you with deadlines? Do you work well with them? Do you work best with them?
No, I work worst with deadlines. So that's why I try and keep busy and ahead of schedule. And if I have an idea, I just sit down and start writing, because I hate deadlines. And so for my publisher in Iceland, I always try and bring him a book well in advance, just so I can start working on the next thing without any pressure. I have friends who work only under pressure, and that's just a different way of doing things. But I work best if there's no pressure, and I hate, you know, deadlines for editing. I hate editing books as well. I mean, it just, something inside me dies really every time.
So, my guess is that your publishers aren't going to give you any deadlines, because they know you're just delivering all the time.
Six books a year. Yeah. I mean, what's the point of a deadline?
No point at all, really.
Okay, you right. Every publisher must want Ragnar to be on their books,
because clearly.
This man is extraordinary. Is there a plot, or story or character that you wish you had written?
Yeah, quite a lot. I mean, when I read a good book, especially crime stories, if I read an original crime story that shows me something no one has done before, I'm always so impressed, and I always think, I wish I'd had that idea. But I think the one that I should probably mention is the obvious choice for me is Agatha Christie, and that would be The Murder of Roger Ackroyd, which is the book that made her famous because of, you know, a wonderful plot twist that had not really been used before. And so I wish that is something, I think, that's a story I think every crime writer, you know, wants to do. Something groundbreaking and original, and if you haven't read that one, I mean, go get it.
Do you encounter any resistance when you talk in such loving terms about Agatha Christie, and obviously Anthony will agree with you, and readers will agree with you? Is there some kind of, I don't know, some kind of sneeriness, particularly among British journalists and writers, who are thinking, really? I mean, that was back in the day. We've moved on just a bit.
I think not anymore. I mean, I think she's gone through, you know, after her death, I mean, I think she's gone through ups and downs in terms of popularity and relevance, but she's always stayed, you know, quite popular. And I think she's having you know, a resurgence now. I mean, it's a lot of film, TV, etc. And then there seems to be no end to, you know, to her popularity. And I think she's generally adored and respected for what she did. And I think authors really, I think most authors are influenced. If you're writing crime fiction, I think you're influenced by her in one way or another, whether you are doing the same thing or something completely different. It's always, in some ways, you compare yourself with Christie. But I'm, you know, I've been a fan since I was 12 and very proud of that and never hide my admiration for Christie.
When it comes to your writing, Ragnar, would you describe yourself as a risk taker?
I think in a way, because I'm so lucky to be writing in Iceland. I mean, Iceland is a small place and it's a small market. And of course, it's hard to make a living there as a writer. So that's the downside. You really have to try and sell your books outside of Iceland if you want to do this and nothing else. But the upside is that it is a small market. So it is, in a way, almost like a test market. So you can get away with a lot of stuff and you can get away with original ideas that an international publisher would probably, you know, say no to. And I mean, in the UK, if you're an author in the UK, you maybe sit down with a big publisher and you do a 3-book deal and they want the 3 books to be, you know, exactly same characters, same type of stories. In Iceland, I just sit down with my publisher and tell him this is what I'm going to do next. And whether it's, you know, what he's expecting or not, I really just go ahead. and that is a privilege to have. So I've managed to, like, try a lot of stuff, you know, switching between standalones and series and stopping midway in a series when he would have probably preferred like another book. So in that way, I think I have the opportunity to take some risks.
In our previous interview, when we were discussing Death at the Sanatorium, we were talking about Darkness, your TV series, which is being filmed, which is the new TV show. And I was talking about Icelandic television cop show, which I was trying to remember, which was, of course, Trapped. And the actor that I was trying to think of and insultingly could not remember is Olafur Darri Olafsson.
Oh, yes, he is in the series.
Well done. He plays the chief of police.
In Trapped.
Trapped. And who? Did I get the pronunciation about
Olafur Darri, yeah.
Sorry?
Olafur Darri.
Okay, I didn't get it right.
No, you didn't.
I did. I got it completely, completely wrong. Who does he play in your show?
He does not play a policeman, let's say that.
Okay.
He's more of a shady guy.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Excellent. I love him anyway.
He does it really, really well. I mean,
he's fantastic, though.
He's a lovely, lovely gentleman, and we were good friends, and he's so nice.
I apologize for not remembering his name and not being able looked it up, not being able to say it correctly. Say it again.
Olafur Darri.
There you go. Olafur Darri.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I'll remember for next time. Now, we always like to surprise our guests with a question from a fellow author and fan. So if you put those headphones on, we have this from Vasim Khan.
Hi, Simon. Hi, Matt. And hello, Ragnar. Vasim here. Hope you gents are all fine and dandy. Now, as a longtime fan of Ragnar's writing, and more importantly, a friend of producer extraordinaire, Mr. Joe Haddo, I have been urged, on pain of being subjected to an endless series of Joe's bad jokes, to ask Ragnar a question. Here it is. Ragnar, you are known as an Agatha Christie expert. In fact, you translated many of Christie's novels into Icelandic at a ridiculously young age. You were practically a toddler. So my question is, how much Agatha were you channeling in Death at the Sanatorium?
Okay, that's Vasim Khan. We've covered some of that area, but just for Vasim, who seems to have given us that question under duress.
Yes, it does feel so.
Yes, what would you say to Vasim?
I think I'm channeling quite a bit of Agatha in this book. I mean, in all of the books in a way, but I think particularly in this series. This is my, you know, my nod to the Golden Age, the series. And it's not even, you don't even have to look for the references because he is actually reading Christie's books in this story. And the next one, the sequel to that, he's still reading more Christie's. And the next book is actually, is called in English The Mysterious Case of the Missing Crime Writer. So it goes, you know, full circle. This is all about love for books and this, I mean, this book would not be here. I mean, none of my books, I think, would be here if I hadn't been introduced to Agatha Christie.
Can you just give us the title for that book in Icelandic, please?
Yes, in Icelandic, it's called Hvítalogn, which is just one small word. And somehow Penguin have managed to change that to like a whole page.
So, okay, say that again.
Kvitalokn.
Which is translated
it
as?
It means like white calm.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah. I'm going to get an Icelandic. I'm going to take out a mortgage and get an Icelandic.
Yes. So if we were to look around your house, Ragnar, and in particular your bookshelves, how are they ordered? Is there any order? And if there is, how are they ordered?
So they are, for a time, there used to be some sort of color coordination, which really did not work. So now it is, so you would see a lot of my books ordered by the countries of publication. But I would see the Golden Age shelves and books that I'm collecting. And then there is a lot of Agatha Christie's books and a lot of my own translations of Agatha Christie. And then just, you know, I also collect like some Icelandic, Halldór Laxness, who was the Icelandic Nobel Prize winner in literature, sort of our biggest author. I try and collect his old books with the help of my father. And so there is, it's ordered, you know, it's basically Golden Age and the rest.
How many books do you think you read a month? And do you always finish them?
So I not enough would be my answer. And a few books a month, sometimes even if I'm busy and writing or traveling, maybe just the one book a month. But I start an awful lot of books. And this morning, before I came to meet you, I was sitting in the sun and trying to pick out which book I was reading. And I think I brought 5 or 6 titles with me. And I will not finish, you know, I know I'll never finish all of those books. But and I give up usually, you know, I can give up 10 pages in if it doesn't work for me. But I love buying books and I love bookshops and I love just, you know, holding a new book and seeing how it feels. But I'm really not afraid to like let it go and start a new one.
Is there an author that you will always pick up that to cheer you up? Whatever they're writing, it'll always bring a smile to your face.
I mean, we mentioned Anthony. I mean, he's one of those authors who we always, you know, pick him up, and I always know it's going to be good. But also, I mean, I think Agatha Christie is. I mean, I've read all her books, but she is the author I would go to just to cheer me up, and that's the same in for my character in the book. When he's feeling bad, he goes to his, you know, he goes and picks out an old book that he has read before, but it's comforting to just get into an atmosphere of you know, this cozy crime world that you know and where everything is safe in a way.
Okay, so here we go to the fantasy dinner party question. Now, this is where we say you can invite 3 authors, living or dead, who's coming. So before we go any further, and we've mentioned this a number of times, when Alex Michaelides was on, he got to this question and he said Agatha Christie. However, he also gave us this the interesting piece of information that apparently at a dinner party, Agatha Christie would only drink full fat cream. And he was slightly disconcerted about this because he wasn't quite sure how that would go down with his other guests. Now, I don't know if you know anything about that, but anyway, or if you want to not invite her to your fantasy dinner party because there's a limit to how much full fat cream I could see anybody consume. Also, what would you do for pudding if someone has only been drinking cream? Anyway, fantasy dinner party, who are you inviting?
Well, let's start with Christie then. I mean, I've spent so much time with her books and in her world of, you know, in her imagination, that I mean, I would obviously invite her if there was no limit to people being dead or alive. Yes. And the closest thing I have done to having dinner with Christie is having a few years ago at my birthday, I invited some friends to have dinner at her house, Greenway House, down in Devon, which was her summer, you know, holiday home. And so we had dinner in her, you know, in her dining room.
Wow.
And we cooked her 80th birthday dinner all over again because they saved the, you know, the menu from that.
Was there a lot of cream involved?
There was, yeah. And there was lobster and it was really good. Ice cream. And so I was that night, it was almost like she was there. So I would most definitely invite her.
Two others.
So I've mentioned Halldór Laxness before, just a while ago. And so he is, an author who won the Nobel Prize in Literature in 1955, I think, and so the only Icelander ever to do that. And it's incredible that an Icelander from such, you know, a small island did actually do that. And he lived for most of the 20th century. He was born early and died at the end of the century. So he was really the cultural icon of the 20th century in Iceland, and really wrote some fantastic books, most of which are in English. And I was just an incredible commentator on you know, social commentator and a very, very smart guy. I never met him. So I'd love to invite him and have him meet Agatha Christie and just hear what have to say.
Okay.
And very different types of literature. And I think the third one is a more obscure one. That's an author called S.S. Van Dyne, who was a Golden Age writer in New York in the 1920s. And his real name was Willard Huntington Wright, but he wrote under this name. He started life as an art critic, and then he got sick. And when he was recovering, he started reading detective stories, like thousands, apparently, detective stories. And when he got back to full health, he said, you know, now I know how to do this. So he wrote 12 books in his lifetime, and he died quite young. And these were the best sellers in the US in the 1920s, late 20s. He was an incredibly successful bestseller, and books are really mostly out of print, although there is some reissuing going on. But I love these books. These are the books I collect in my bookshelves at home in the first editions, because it's a small number of books, so it's relatively easy to get your hands on them. And I love those books. And I would really, I mean, he wrote about a detective who's like an upper-class guy who's... A lot of readers don't like him because he's you know, he knows it all. Mm-hmm. He's pretty annoying in that way, but he's a funny guy to, you know, read about. And I'd love to know what type of author this... You know, what type of person S.S. Van Dyne was as a human being. I mean, so far away, but I spend a lot of time with this book.
It'd be an interesting dinner party. Mm.
I think it would.
All right. With lots of...
Cream.
Full-fat cream.
Yeah.
Ragnar Jonasson, always a pleasure. Thank you very much indeed. Death at the Sanatorium is published by Michael Joseph. It's out now. Remember, if you want to get in touch via the email, booksoftheyear@yahoo.com. Thank you for listening. Back next week with music journalist and author David Hepworth. I hope you can join us then. Thank you.